You're listening to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. Make sure to find us on Facebook at She Knows Sports and Instagram as the same. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Yep, She Knows Sports. Check out Brittany and Princess on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This duo gives it to you straight with no chaser. If you can handle it, tune in and get your sports news, opinions, and so much more every week from She Knows Sports. Intensity is not a perfume. Join us Thursdays on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Hello, hello, beautiful people. Thank goodness it's Thursday. Welcome to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. I am your host, Brittany Jones, here with my wonderful co-host, Miss Princess Cooper. Hi, Miss Princess. How are you today?
Hey, Brittany. I'm running, but we're here. How are you?
I'm good. We here. We made it.
We made it.
So, did you come up, Princess? I'm curious to know. Did you come up with a nickname yet? No, last week you said you were going to try to come up with a nickname.
I promise it's going to be my focus over the Memorial Day weekend. I may even put out a little, multiple choice for everybody to see what my nickname is going to be. But I don't want to be left out, and I don't ever like to be left out. So I'm joining the party, and I'm going to get a nickname so, I can be like Jason and Kevin and Brittany for sure. So, yeah, I'll do that over the weekend.
Okay, so just give our listeners a little background here. So the nickname came about because I had a question on our Friday show, the Shoot Around. If you were playing sports and if you could have a nickname, what would we come up with? And I came up with the executive. Jason came up with Jay Bird. And then Kevin, he finally picked a name. He came up with Kevin 11. So those are our nicknames. I mean, Princess, you are in charge here. Maybe we could do like the CEO or something like that. So we'll figure out something for you. We'll figure out something.
Yeah, we'll figure out something. See, I'm so enamored with Princess and all that kind of stuff. But maybe I need to go, more career, all of that. We'll figure that out. We got a lot of Charlotte callers on, or at least North Carolina. I want to make sure you all know Kyron Jones. We had him in the first half of the hour. So if you're looking for him, that show has ended, and you can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcast now in replay. Kyron Jones, we had him on the Athlete Spotlight. But if you want to talk, hang on in there. And we'll get you in here in just a little bit, but we want to get started. So Brittany, go ahead and give me something. What do you want to talk about first? Let's get into it.
Let's talk about these sports. So we all know, guys, the NBA playoffs is here. It's starting to dwindle down a little bit because we are at the tail end of the conference finals for the Eastern Conference as well as the Western Conference. But yesterday we had the Eastern Conference Finals game five, between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics was able to pull away from the Heat in the third quarter and was able to maintain that lead throughout the fourth quarter to a 93-80 victory over the Heat. This series has been very, very interesting series long. So I have a question for you. Do you think the Heat will tie up the series tomorrow night?
I think they will, Brittany. I think that they're evenly matched, and no one has shown where they've had dominance. I guess that's what I mean when I say evenly matched. No one's shown any dominance and gone on more than a one-game streak. And each team that has won in dominant fashion. It's not like they've, all hung in there for every game. So that's what I'm looking at. I think the Heat are tied up. As a matter of fact, I really thought that the Heat could win this. I'm leaning more towards the Celtics just because of the play of Strauss and Lowry, them going 0-4, not scoring any baskets and just not looking good. And I don't think that Jimmy Butler is seems to be healthy. So I'm leaning towards the Celtics. But it's 3-2 now, and I really think that Miami's going to go back to Boston and send this back down to South Beach. I'd be surprised, but I do feel this is the Celtics series to win, and I do think, you know, they go on to the finals. But I think the Heat win tomorrow night just because of Pat Riley and Spoelstra and all of the mm-hmm. toughness that they've shown all year. I just don't think they're going to go out like that.
So here's the one problem I've had with the Celtics all season long, and I have known of their ability to dominate games for a while now, just watching them, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They have three together, especially when Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are when they're on, they're really on. It's hard to stop them, especially in with Al Horford and Marcus Smart. But the biggest problem I have with the Boston Celtics is consistency. I've said this all along. If the Boston Celtics can play with consistency, no one can beat them. No one, not even the Warriors. And I'm going out there and I'm saying it now. The Boston Celtics has enough pieces on this team, offensively and defensively, to win a championship. But the problem is, and it could be because, you know, Tatum is only 24. I think Jaylen Brown is only 26, so they're still young. Marcus Smart is within that age range somewhere. Robert Williams is young. I think the oldest guy on there is Al Horford at the age of 35 years old. If they can figure out how to come out every single game, energy, come with consistency, and just play hard every game, they could sweep any team that they really want to be honest with you. So game six, because they're up 3-2 right now. To me, the Heat wins if Boston comes out slow. If Boston comes out slow, I think the Heat wins this game. If Boston is not consistent, the Heat wins this game. But if Boston comes out with energy, if they come out scoring the basketball, playing very well defense, if Al Horford and Marcus Smart are pumped on that sideline or in the game, because they are starters, I think they'll dominate the Heat. I just think, as much as I like the Heat, and I love Jimmy Butler, everybody knows I love Jimmy Butler. The Heat are a little, first of all, they're small. They are a little small, and they're older, mm-hmm. as you can see in Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry, I don't know what happened with him. He's just disappeared. He completely disappeared from these games. And all he does right now is just flop, which is driving me insane because he's been doing that for a long time, and they need to catch him out on it. He needs to start getting fined for it because he's doing it too much. But Jimmy Butler is 35, 36 years old, or however old he is. He's up there too. So he's starting to slow down, especially the way the games are scheduled. You have one every other day. And then I just don't think they have enough talent as far as much as the Celtics do. Like, you have Max Strauss, but he's a hit or miss at times, right? You have, well, first of all, they're not even playing Duncan Robinson, which I don't understand. I guess maybe because his lack of defensive abilities. But he's your scorer. So to keep up with a team like Boston when they're on, you need a Duncan Robinson. As towards the tail end of the last game, they was trying to get Duncan Robinson to come in and shoot some threes, which is a little bit too late because he's been sitting on the bench for a lot of the series. And then Bam Adebayo, granted, he's only 24 years old, so he still has a lot of room to grow. But there's some games where he's just not effective at all. And I think, and I said this before, I think it's because he has to deal with the more athletic big men. You know, Robert Williams is bigger than he is. He's more athletic than he is. So he struggles a lot, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And although Robert Williams doesn't play the best offense or doesn't have the best offense in his game because of his size. So I honestly think, depending on how Boston comes out in game six, will determine the end of this game. It all depends on Boston. So, again, I'm going to say Boston wins, but that depends on mm-hmm. how much they can be consistent and if they come out with energy. If they do not do that, then Heat will win because I do believe Jimmy Butler will have this team ready to go just off of the mindset that he likes to come out with, you know, because he'll get in, he'll dig deep into his players, which I respect him so much about that. So I think I'm going to go with Boston, but that's like a 65% confidence situation. I'm not confident in Boston just yet.
Well, you know what? I want to go back and say that, and I've said this several times, maybe 5 or 6 times since Kevin Walker said at the beginning of the season when you were always saying that L.A. doesn't look too good, but, hey, watch out for my Heat. And, of course, I fought you all on the L.A., and you all were right about that. But I thought Kevin was right about his Miami Heat. They've really taken this deep into the playoffs and has a chance, and have a chance still to go to the NBA Finals. But I think they're hurt, and I think they are there's little things that are wrong with a lot of them, including Jimmy Butler. But Hero, who – you know, was just lighting up in the early rounds of the playoffs, and now he's out. And I think Adebayo needs to maybe gain a little girth, and I always say that, but sometimes players don't. They are who they are. Their frame is their frame. But I thought they were unbeatable at one time and were destined to head to the finals. But I have found myself really falling in love, and I don't want to belabor all of this, falling in love with the Celtics, including their coach, who seems very tough, and where he is and what he's trying to do. And I think his first or second year here as the head coach, and Marcus Smart and Tatum and those guys have really just shown that they're ready for the big leagues, and their their defensive prowess is unmatched. And I agree with you when you said if they're on their game consistently in the finals or in these next two games, no one can beat them, and they can go ahead and end this tomorrow night. And I hope, and I'm hoping that they do, so that they can get ready, because I think that the Warriors are going to end in theirs. I don't think the Warriors are headed back to Texas after they finish, so we'll see. But I've really enjoyed this playoff series, and I think I've enjoyed this NBA playoff series for a lot of reasons, including listening to you all, everybody on the network and on sports radio talking about this and elevating and putting it up and putting it out there. So, but my picks are the Warriors and the Celtics, but maybe for Kevin's sake, you know, I just want to see them succeed and get to see the Heat get to Game 7.
Yeah, and I got something to say, K-Walk, if you're listening. I don't know if he's listening now, but if he's listening, okay? Because I know Embiid, we're going to talk about it right before we head into our first break real fast. But I know Embiid tweeted out that Miami Heat need another star, okay? I want to make something clear. Embiid didn't even start his extension yet, his contract. His new contract doesn't start for another year or so. So after this season coming up, that's when his new contract starts. He's staying in Philly. He's not going to Miami. So stop dreaming, okay? If anything, Jimmy Butler is going to leave Miami before Embiid goes to Philly. So no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can stamp it with a guarantee in my Charles Barkley voice, okay? So if you're listening,
yeah, I hear you, Brittany.
Write it down and take
it. I hear you, Brittany.
He ain't going nowhere. He's not going
but
nowhere.
Kevin Walker did not tweet that. Brittany Jones didn't tweet it. Princess Cooper didn't tweet it. Embiid put that foolishness out there and said the Heat need a superstar. Now, he knew that it would be cryptic. He knew that it would start the conversation, and he probably doesn't mean anything by it. But the fact that we have social media where it is, it really gives us an inside scoop to their mindset sometimes. And so when Embiid said it, he knew that it was going to start this firestorm, especially with you 76ers fans. But Kevin calls you Greedy Gretchen, so now he's trying to be Greedy Grady. But for sure, I agree with you, but Embiid started this foolishness. Correct, Brittany?
Yeah, but see, K-Walk neglects the fact that right after that tweet, Joel Embiid tweets out, Boston has too many stars, and then he said, y'all stupid right now. I'm not. They say I'm not going nowhere. Y'all being crazy. So make sure you mention the other two tweets before you just mention the one. And if you, I'll take Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler. How about that? And you could have.
Okay, I hope Rev been listening. I'd take Eric Spoelstra anytime. I think he's well, but okay, that's another. That's for another show. But for sure. But I knew you was going to bring it up, and I was trying not to, but let's go ahead and get a break in there because, you know, we could carry on for days. But
yes.
Shout out to K-Wall. If you want to call in and defend your stance on this, because I'm going to get – I don't know if we're going to get NFL in there, but I don't care if it takes to the end of the show. I'm going to address, listeners, these jokers with their thread through our text message. They talk so much junk about my Cowboys. And Jason Collins,
man.
I love you, dude. Hold your head up. You're a Cowboy fan. Hold your head up. Go ahead, Brittany, take us a break.
All right, guys. So when we come back, I do want to talk about the Nets and what's going on with Kyrie Irving. And let's talk a little bit about Colin Kaepernick, because this is very interesting, what's going on with him as well. But you guys are listening to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
CampLyman.com is an opportunity for my big boys to come get some work. Let's put it all together. We built from the ground up. You know, our cliche is it all starts up front. Once again, start, stance, hand placement, hand separation, get offs, counter moves, a little bit of everything. Polish up those skills before your middle school or high school season began. Just come work on your craft. Once again, CampLyman.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Again, I am your host, Brittany Jones, here with my wonderful co-host, Miss Princess Cooper. All right, now, besides, yeah, if Jason Collins is on the line, I hope he calls in as well. So I need Jason Collins to call in one day. K-Walk, Kevin Walker, and E, Eric Scott, all of us need to call in so we can talk about this Dallas Cowboys, Eagles, Saints, and 49ers all at one time. That would be an interesting show. Princess, we got to set that up.
Okay, let's set that up.
All right, guys. So now I got to get into what's going on with the Nets and Kyrie Irving. So apparently there have been several reports out there that the Nets are unwilling to give Kyrie Irving a long-term contract. Kyrie currently has a player option and can opt in for $37 million, or he can opt out and become unrestricted free agent. Princess, do you think Kyrie Irving will stay with the Nets after finding out this information?
I don't know, because I've never been one to identify with anything that Kyrie has done. I would say it would behoove him to stay with the Nets, because the Nets have really buckled under pressure with the lot that Kyrie was demanding, a la, you know, the shot, and how he handled the pandemic, and how the Nets came out so strong and they drew their line in the sand and he just won't play, and then all of a sudden maybe he can play in games that are away from New York. So I think that the Nets organization is just putting out their strong arm, but I think they're testing Kyrie. You know, but I'd hate to say that I'd speak for him, even in just some kind of speculation. I'm not a Kyrie Irving fan. I think this year was a debacle, and a lot of it was his own fault, and there was just too much drama around that team. But just think of the numbers, Brittany. This guy can get opt-in for $37 million. What does that say? You know, I need to go have a son and let him play basketball and get some guaranteed money. I need to rethink this thing. But you take it, Brittany, because I'm so disappointed in Kyrie. I could care less, but $37 million, I'm willing to be whatever you need me to be as far as your social media person. Kyrie, hit me up.
Yeah, you know what? That shows right there that the Nets don't trust him at all. They have no trust in him, no faith in him at all, that he will even show up to play a game.
Exactly.
Because if they did, they would have no problem offering him a max extension, because apparently he may be looking for a super max or something close to it. Now, Kyrie Irving, we'll see what his mindset is. We'll see if he'll opt in and be willing to prove, like, you know what, I will be there for my team. I will not be a selfish player this year. I'm all about the team this year. You know, I want to show you guys, the organization, the fans, plus my teammates, and maybe even be a mentor to Ben Simmons, that I will show up and I will show out each and every game as long as I'm healthy. But I would not also be surprised, knowing Kyrie Irving and how he is, being he's such a talented player, and this would make you even more frustrated with him. But how he is I would not be surprised if he decided to opt out and test the market to see what's out there. I feel like KD is starting to get a little tired, because there's also been rumors that he hasn't been communicating with the Nets organization, which usually around this time, the coaches, the staff, or the executive staff, they usually communicate with their players just to see what's in store for next year, see what they could work on over the summer, talk about their plans, and then you go off about your summer until it's time for training camp and little camps they may set up prior to the season. So this is really, really interesting, but I would not be surprised if Kyrie Irving decided to opt out and test the market. He'll definitely have plenty of suitors. There's a lot of teams that will look to take him on, but I don't think any team at this moment will be willing to give him that max contract extension because of the type of person that he shows himself to be. Not that that's just who he is, because he does a lot of good out there, but when it comes to the NBA, what he shows his image is. So his image is he doesn't show up for the team. So that's definitely going to be interesting.
Yeah. I'm not going to comment any more than that, Brittany. You got it. I'm not a Kyrie fan.
All right, guys. So we're going to change topics here. We're going to switch over to the leagues now and head over to the NFL, because we got to talk about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick worked out for the Las Vegas Raiders on Wednesday, so yesterday actually. Colin has said in the past that he would like to play in the NFL again, and he would now be okay with being a backup quarterback. Princess, do you think Colin will be invited to a team's training camp this summer?
No, I don't. I don't know what the reasoning is for the Raiders inviting Colin Kaepernick, except for the Raiders have always been on their own set of drums in the NFL, and they've always been one to, they hired an African-American coach in Art Shell. So they've always kind of done things differently. But I don't think that they are going to take this on. You know, I listened to Josh McDaniels. Did I get his name right? New head coach coming from the Patriots, you know, he said, we've, worked out Colin Kaepernick as we're going to work out others. You're going to see a lot of players come in and out of this building. We're going to give a lot of opportunities of workouts to a lot of different players. So that was very cryptic or just very bland. And he said that Derek Carr knows who he is to the organization and that he is the number one quarterback, and he's very solid in that, and he knows how I feel about him. But, you know, they gave him an opportunity, and that just gives us in the media something to talk about. But after 5 years, I don't know if he gets an opportunity to get on a team. And let's say he does. It'll have to be a team that doesn't mind that extra sideshow, because everywhere he goes, there's a backup quarterback, and if that's how he gets signed, there's an extra sideshow with Colin Kaepernick. From everything from those who are going to say, yeah, congratulations, to those who are going to protest and say, hey, I wonder what he's going to do, you know, and how do you put that guy? He disrespected the flag. So I don't think there is one of any other 32 teams that are going to willingly sign on that drama. I just don't think it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be solid with your front office and your head coach and everybody. Why would you sign on and pay anybody $300,000 to $30 million to bring that drama into your locker room and force a whole different whole side of media? So no, 5 years out of the league, I don't know what kind of performance he can give anyway. They waited long enough. They collaborated to keep him out of the league. That's what he's done. What they've done. I don't think they do anything with this. And I'm just praying for Kaepernick to be able to move on and to be successful in whatever he's done. Thank you, Nike, for giving him the $300 million contract.
Yeah. You know what, though? I think he'll get invited into an NFL training camp. You know, I heard that The Raiders were impressed with him yesterday. Excuse me, I'm sorry, guys. But I really do think he'll get invited to a training camp. Now, will he be on the roster when preseason starts? I'm not sure. I would like for him to be, just to see where he's at with the preseason. Look, we know he's not going to be a starter. That's done and over with. But maybe a backup or third-string guy, because I know there's a lot of teams out there that look for that want three quarterbacks on their roster, depending on how that first, you know, string quarterback is. If he's injury prone, prime example, Lamar Jackson. So he's a running mobile quarterback who may get injured. He may not get injured, so he may be needed out there. But this is kind of a tricky one because, you know, I love Colin Kaepernick. I love the fact that he was willing to take a stance. And he did it in a peaceful manner, which this country is supposed to be all about. You know, he didn't disrespect anyone. He did it the right way. And he got punished for something, for doing something right, to make sure that people get treated fairly. You know, he got punished for that. So I wish him the best. I kind of feel bad for him still. I really do. I know it's time for him to most likely move on. You know, and I know there's so much more out there that he can do, especially, you know, with politics and things like that, especially, I don't know, the different civil rights stuff that's going on, even to this day, you know. So, but this is going to be intriguing. But if this is what he wants to do, I support him 100%. But like you said, Princess, what kind of shape is he in? How does he look as a quarterback? That's going to be all very, very interesting. So we're definitely going to have to.
Yeah.
Wait and see. This is a wait and see what happens moment.
Yeah, and football shape is football shape, and he is nowhere near that. And he hasn't had any kind of hits like that on his body in 5 years. But let me just say to Colin Kaepernick, thank you. Thank you for taking one for us, for the team, for everybody within our culture, because that's what you did when you consistently did this and brought awareness to it. And we can't thank you enough. But I think the owners, who are all Caucasian, collaborated and said what they said, and that they were not going to hire him or give him an opportunity. And a lot of these owners made sure to tell their teams, if I see you kneeling, you're going to get kicked out. You know, I shouldn't. Well, I can't say that because I don't give some Eagles fans some material. But as a Cowboys fan, you know, I should have jumped off the bandwagon then because, you know, our owner was very adamant about that. And I thought racist at least. So, Jerry Jones. So, again, thank you, Colin Kaepernick, for the movement. Thank you for the awareness. I can't appreciate you enough, and I'm praying for you to have a successful life in whatever else you decide to touch and get involved in.
Absolutely, absolutely. We wish Colin Kaepernick the best, and I'm looking forward to witnessing the rest of his life's journey because I think he'll definitely have a positive, amazing impact on this world, and he already has started. He started the conversation that many people were scared to even bring up. So when he brought
that
to everyone's attention, to me, he's up there along the lights of some of our most admired civil rights activists from back in the day because he was willing to take that. He was willing to put his foot forward when everybody else was scared to do it. So, yes, we honor him and kudos to him. So, guys, we got to head into our next break now. When we come back, Princess takes over. She has a lot of interesting topics, and I'm ready for it. I'm so ready for it. But you guys are listening to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
You're inside Never Had It So Good Sports Radio with Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports.
Hi, right, welcome back on Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio, C-Note Sports with Brittany and Princess. I want to go over a couple of things. CeeDee Lamb said he's excited about the opportunity to be the number one receiver, so I want to see what he can do. He says he wants to be that guy. Also, Steve Smith, former wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, is now on the staff of the New York Giants. He is in the NFC East. The Giants need your help. And the last thing is that Zion Williamson has been cleared. He has been cleared to play without any restrictions. He missed all of last year with that bone broken in his foot. But, Brittany, quickly, give me just a few seconds here. Your thoughts about Steve Smith, wide receiver, future Hall of Famer wide receiver, now on the staff with the New York Giants. He broke the news himself. He said, hey, you all don't have to check with Adam Schefter. I'm letting you know myself.
Look, we know the Giants have a ways to go to get their team back together, but I'm not going to lie, that's making me nervous because Steve Smith, when he was a receiver, he was a great receiver. And when I watch him at the NFL Combine, he knows what he's talking about, and he's going to get these receivers in shape. So I'm a little nervous, just a little bit as an Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit, because they got a good one on that staff.
He's smart. He knows what he's doing. He was always in shape, and I'm sure that's what he's going to do with the wide receivers for the Giants. But more than anything, he was a dog. He would fight you, fight for that yard, those 10 yards, and if you want to scrap it up, he would fight that way too. I love his demeanor. So we'll see what happens. Brittany, I wanted to go back to a couple of things. We're going to try to squeeze them all in if we can get about 30 seconds here. But let's talk about the NFL and the Pro Bowl. Give me 30 to 60 seconds, your thoughts about the Pro Bowl and the fact that they're having these conversations and possibly getting rid of the game.
I'm okay with it, to be honest with you. Look, I understand the most exciting All-Star Weekend or Pro Bowl is the NBA. They have everyone's attentions on their weekend. The Pro Bowl, I miss it half the time. The majority of the time, I miss the skills competition. And a Pro Bowl game is so boring, it makes no sense. Like, they need incentives or anything. I understand it's football, and you don't want your players to get hurt. But maybe do what Chad Johnson, a.k.a. Chad Ochocinco, came on and said, have the current players versus some of the old guys and do flag football. I think that would be a lot more exciting. That would get some legends in the building. The fans would get excited. But you got to figure out something to get that excitement back and get ready for this Pro Bowl weekend. Because right now it's, in my mind, just get rid of the game. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it, too. I watched the Pro Bowl last year, or I should say earlier this year, and I'm like, oh, my God, what happened to the game? You know, it was really like flag football because, you know, they were touching them. There was no tackling, even in the fourth quarter, maybe a little bit. But, yeah, it wouldn't hurt my heart. I remember always dreaming and wanting to go to the Pro Bowl game in Hawaii. I've been to Hawaii, but not doing a Pro Bowl. But I also think what's a good experience, I think you're right, NBA has it. I think that's the best weekend around. And if you never get an opportunity out there, listeners, try to go to an NBA All-Star weekend. But I love the Home Run Derby with Major League Baseball, and I would love to go see that again, but I think we're failing as far as the NFL is concerned. I love the skills play. I love all of that stuff that they do on Friday and Saturday, but on Sunday, get rid of the game. I do agree with that. Listeners, Brittany sent me something to challenge me, you know, my top three favorite baseball players of all time. Brittany, I'm going to let you go first. Some of mine, you weren't even born yet, but what's your top three favorite baseball players of all time?
So I had to make sure I went with players that I was born to watch. So I wasn't going with the Jackie Robinsons and the Satchel Paige. I was like, I wasn't born. I know how great they were. So let me go with the ones I was able to watch. So my first one was Jimmy Rollins. I had to go with a local guy, Philadelphia Phillies. Amazing shortstop slash second baseman. My next one, although he's a Yankee, but he's a Hall of Fame awesome player, Derek Jeter. He was absolutely one of my favorite players growing up. And then my all-time favorite was the one and only Ken Griffey Jr., which to me is probably top 10 of all time in baseballs at his position. So no ifs, ands, or buts if you ask me. He's definitely up there.
Wow. Okay. I should have known Jimmy Rollins. I was a Jimmy Rollins fan too. I really was. I'm going to take you back, and I don't even know if you remember Kirby Puckett, Minnesota Twins. I love myself some Kirby Puckett, and he was one of my favorite players. And when he came up, you knew he was always short and stocky, but I thought he could play his position, and I thought he was a hit waiting to happen. I have to go back to Hank Aaron. Not only have I met Hank Aaron, been around Hank Aaron, but I was a Braves fan growing up, still a Braves fan, and I thought that his impact, just not on Major League Baseball, but his impact on the South, on our culture, and on the city of Atlanta, it's just like it's unmatched. And so Hank Aaron was one that I actually got to see him break Babe Ruth's record. Now, I was a baby, but I remember that just as it was yesterday. I can remember that whole that game. And in the announcements, and there it is, he's done it. And now I'm going to go to a couple, and I know you said three, but I got two more. Johnny Bench, the Cincinnati Reds, and the Big Red Machine. That was another one of my favorite teams, and I hung on everything that they did. And I came home every day as in elementary school in the 70s to make sure and see the box score, because there was no social media back then. And there was no ESPN at that particular time. You had to come home and get the paper and see what the box score was. Johnny Bench was one of my favorite, but that team was loaded with Joe Morgan, Cesar Geronimo, and Ken Griffey Sr. Was on that team too. So that was one of my favorite. And the other one was Jim Rice. He played outfield for the Boston, Boston, what's their name?
Red Sox,
the Boston Red Sox, Jim Rice. And I remember him and his impact. And he was a slugger, a home run hitter, and he was out in the outfield. So those are mine. I could go on and on. I came up, and I told you this many times, Brittany, I loved baseball, and I have watched a game, 162 games a season, and I would watch it every day for sure. And if I didn't catch it, especially now, I go back and watch some of them in replay, because there are several stations that will let you do that for sure. We're going to try to get a couple more things in here before for our next break. I know. But I want to get to you about Josh Donaldson. And Josh Donaldson is a Yankee, and they were playing Tim Anderson's team, and he's a Chicago White Sox. And Donaldson said he's done it several times, but he, you know, walked by him and said, "Hey, Jackie." And I never thought that, okay, and maybe Anderson was being a little bit sensitive. Donaldson said he's done it several times before. But, Brittany, the more I think about it, and the more that more people have come forward in defense of Anderson, Donaldson was trying to make some statement with this, you know. And if there is any kind of negative connotations to Jackie Robinson and you're trying to make it, I don't agree with that. And I'm glad that the league, the Major League Baseball, decided to suspend Donaldson for a game and say, hey, that's not necessary, and apologize. So he's apologized today, apologized to Robinson family and Jackie Robinson's wife, who is still with us, and I think she's 99 years old, if I'm not mistaken, and still in this game involved. And she actually was a part of throwing out a baseball here at the beginning of the season. And I'm glad that we've made this right. But everything doesn't have to be so aggressive. You can talk trash, but we don't have to cross the line. And I think if he used Jackie Robinson's name in a negative connotation, he crossed the line. Your thoughts, Brittany?
See, and that's when I was reading, I didn't quite understand, because was he saying Jackie Robinson to compare him and say, hey, you're just as great, or you're going to become just as great as he is? I'm not exactly sure how to take it, because I don't know him personally. But if you're saying the other players and people are speaking out against Josh Donaldson, then Josh Donaldson, he deserved to be suspended. He deserves anything that's coming to him, because you cannot do that. You don't do that. So you just see another African-American player just going to say, hey, Jackie, so what are you saying? We all look alike? We all acting like? We all play alike? No. No, come on now. Don't do that. Stop it. That's what I'm going to say. Just stop it. So,
And, you know, Donaldson said he said it to him before. He said, as a matter of fact, Tim Anderson has called himself Jackie Robinson. And somebody said it best, but Tim Anderson said, I want white folks to understand things that we do in our circle is in our circle. You all can't come out and do it, and you really can't do it if you're trying to trash talk me and use it in negative connotations. And I think that's what happened. And I'm glad that the Major League Baseball just made a statement and said, hey, here we are. I meant to look this up because I had a whole list here, but NBA players who have the most commercials and sponsorships, and I never thought to take a look at this. And, of course, the reason that I want to talk about that is because LeBron has 31 and Steph Curry has 30. But just think about that, Brittany. Those type of sponsorships from State Farm is State Farm and Subway and Nike, that adds up. And as a matter of fact, I think LeBron made $1 million every minute of the season this past year, even in the fact that I think it was a season of failure if you're looking at the Lakers. But $1 million every minute this past year. Your thoughts, Brittany?
Oh, show me the money, Jerry. No. Jeez. That's a lot of money. Can I get some of that, please? No, you know what, though?
Yeah.
With a guy like LeBron James, I know we rag on him a lot on this show, but there really is respect for him, and I think he deserves every penny of it, honestly. If you just look how he carries himself, you know, the things that he does for kids, the things that he just does in general for people as a whole, the family man that he is, you know, when a little kid, and, you know, you've seen players, when a little kid wants an autograph or a little kid just wants to say hi or shake your hand, there are players that have just walked by and crushed that little kid's heart. Every time I see LeBron James walk by a little kid and they're screaming at him, he takes a moment to walk up to that little kid, shake his hand, sign an autograph, take a picture, whatever he needs to do to make sure that kid is smiling before he leaves, because he knows at the end of the day that kid's going to go home happy. And he might be the next LeBron James or the next big basketball player. Like, you just changed that little kid's life and his heart forever. So I really think LeBron deserves every single penny of it. Now, I will say on the other side is they giving men a lot of these commercials and a lot of these sponsorships. Where's our ladies at? Where's the Candace Parkers and the Diggins and Diana Taurasi's, and I go on and on and on, Elena Deladon's, and, like, they deserve just as much as the fellas do. Like, come on now. Let's get – it's enough for all of us to get some. It's enough for all of us to have an equal share in this situation. So share it out a little bit. But I do think LeBron absolutely deserves everything that he's getting.
Yeah, a couple of things there. Candace Parker just really picked up a lot of endorsements. She's now doing this whole campaign for Nike and also the campaign for Muscle Milk. So she's picked up a couple here, but you're correct. Overall, let's use these ladies. There's a lot of talent and beauty and intelligence in the WNBA. But back to LeBron, I do want to say this because I did reshare one of the pictures of him going back, his foundation going back to his I Promise school, elementary school in Akron, Ohio, and how they one of the teachers just got him to say LeBron James, and, you know, they were just kind of playing around, and then he came in. Their reaction to that and the fact that he took time to sit with all of them on the floor, on the table, hug them, do whatever they wanted to do, dap them up, the teachers. That was amazing. And that is, I hope that more, and you don't have to be a superstar in any professional sport, but I hope that we do more of that because obviously, and I don't want to get too far off in this, but obviously we need to touch the mindset of 18-year-old white boys and stop them from hunting down people for things that they don't even really understand. So, but, you know, kudos to LeBron James. I love him, his off-the-court game as well as his on-the-court game, and the fact that no drama or junk in his relationships that I can see. That's amazing. I've had some drama in certain relationships I've had. I've had, you know, had a divorce. LeBron has super exceeded what I've done. Hopefully I've come out on the other side of it and I kept it professional. But just to see him thrive in his 30s and to be have such an impact and to continue to want to give back is just really amazing to me, Brittany. It is for sure. We're going to take a break right here and come back because I really want to talk about Coach Deion Sanders. Brittany, I inboxed Coach Duck, and I said, you know what, Duck, I like Deion Sanders. And he said, be careful, be careful. He is a Florida State Seminole. And I said, well, it took me a minute, but I'm coming around as a Florida Gator. I do like him. So we're going to discuss a little bit of that when we get back. Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess, and we'll be right back.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
And we are back with Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. She Knows Sports with my co-host, Brittany, and I am Princess Cooper. So a shout-out to Kyron Jones in the last half hour. We had him on at 6:30, young man out of Charlotte, North Carolina, in Christian Academy, I think it is. And he and his mom and dad were just powerful in their conversation about his journey. He is a running back, and he is in the 2023 class, and they were a good interview. We got to get them back. Also, Brittany, the Georgia Bulldogs are extending the contract of Kirby Smart. That does not make me happy at all. I'm a serious Gator. Kirby Smart, don't take it. Just go ahead and go back and do something else, you know. But that is going to happen. And then, Brittany, I love this time of year in college sports. I love the fact that we're in the middle of softball championships, also baseball championships, golf, tennis, and it's a full spring season. And right here at the end, as graduation happens, there's also a lot of different teams that are vying for some national championships, track and field too. So we'll get into some of that maybe in some of our future shows. But Brittany, I want to get to you and talk about Coach Deion Sanders. I meant to post the video, but he basically said that, hey, some of the coaches when we go on these high school campuses act kind of funny. And he says, what I mean is that they'll show me some players that maybe can go to HBCUs, but they won't refer any of the players. Oh, no, they're going to the big schools. They're going to the Power Five schools. He said, why not show me everyone? He said, we are prepared to offer everyone. And he said, I'm just saying it just like this, coaches, but he said, next time I'm going to start naming some names. I like, you know, Deion Sanders because it's something that I really didn't think about. And I'm sure that HBCUs are getting, you know, hey, here are a couple of black players over here that will probably fit what you're trying to do. And I think Deion is trying to say that everybody is available and we want to be able to recruit everybody. Your thoughts about Deion Sanders overall, but he is changing the climate and the culture and how we view HBCU football.
Absolutely. He's absolutely changing it, and people are scared the fact that he's changing it. Start with the main guy that started all this mess, Nick Saban. Nick Saban is scared of what Deion Sanders is doing for HBCUs because Nick Saban knows that Alabama may not be Alabama anymore once these players understand they now have more options and can now go to HBCU and help to raise up their level of productivity or whatnot when it comes to football or any other sports for that matter. So, and these guys are scared. Even the fact that you go to a high school, and this is what irritates me. School head coach, you're shutting the door on potential opportunities, even more opportunities for some of your best players. Allow them to have options. Allow these kids to choose where they want to go. Don't shut the door just because you don't like it. That's not for you to decide. That's for that child, that 18-year-old, and their parents to decide. And if they want to go to an HBCU, if they want to go play for Deion Sanders or Eddie George or with Tennessee State, I believe, or wherever else, allow them to do that. And so what if it's an even playing field? Now it's going to be a little bit tougher for the Alabamas and the Georgias to continuously win all these championships that they got. And trust me, I'm okay with it. I want to see HBCUs rise. Of course I do. And I want to see that I want to see that competition. And that's what they're scared of. And they know a lot of these young African-American men are going to choose a HBCU versus these Alabamas and so forth. And I'm so happy Travis Hunter, who was the number one overall recruit last year, decided to go to Jackson State with Deion Sanders because he started it, and they're going to change it. Everything's going to change because of that.
Yeah, I want to continue to see more of it, and Deion Sanders has the right voice to talk about a lot of this, and he's seen it from the inside out as being recruited himself, playing for, and being recruited by all of these teams too. And as he said, I know a lot of this stuff, but I also want to go back, and I've said this, I think, on a previous show this week, Brittany. Nick Saban gets $9 million a year in salary. The budget for the football program at the University of Alabama is $180 million. $180 million. Deion Sanders' salary is $300,000 a year at Jackson State. And the budget for football at Jackson State is $8 million. $9 million versus $180 and then $300,000 versus, you know, Nick Saban makes more in his salary than Jackson State has in the budget for football. But let's continue to level this playing field, Deion Sanders, by continuing to have this conversation and making sure that everybody is recruitable. And I would love to see it too, Brittany. Let's see. Come on over. You know, wouldn't it be awesome if we decided that, hey, if they look like us, they're committing to HBCU? It would change the financial dynamic in college football in a hurry, for sure. So kudos to Sanders for having a conversation. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, you know what's so funny is that HBCUs was built because African-Americans weren't allowed to go to a regular university. So that was our opportunity to go to school. But nowadays, we're good enough to go to Alabama and Georgia and so forth because of our athletic abilities. That's some crap. No, you know what?
Yeah.
If I was in high school, I want to go back to the HBCUs. I want to go back to the place where they gave me the opportunity, and I want to help build them up and forget all the other schools. Now they mad because you can't get us. Just not that long ago, you didn't want us in your school. You didn't want us there.
That's right.
Now you mad because I want to go to the
campus.
HBCU.
You could step on the campus, for sure. You know, I'm a graduate of Spelman College and a graduate of the University of Florida. But let me call out my University of Florida. University of Florida built a law school for FAMU because they did not want blacks coming to their law school. They said, if you go over there to FAMU, we'll build your whole complex. They gave the money and to build a law FAMU so that blacks wouldn't come to the University of Florida. That's some of our ugly history. You know, if you do the background check, it's not pretty all of the times. And so there you have it. And I'd love for everybody to know their history. And I am proud of my graduation, my degree from University of Florida, but I do understand the history. Let's, you know, end it on this, Brittany, and that is, who would you draft You know, Duck and I were talking about this on another show with the guys, with Larry Tisdale and Tony Coleman. Shout out to Tony Coleman, who are now Facebook friends. I say happy Saturday, Tony Coleman. But let's talk about who would you draft? Who would be your number one pick? I watched the lottery. We talked about that a little bit last week. Who would be your number one pick? They're talking about the young man out of Gonzaga, Chet, I think is his name.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he has enough girth. He's tall, and he can shoot that ball. He has a smooth shot, but that wouldn't be my pick. Who would be your pick, Brittany? Have you thought about it?
Well, real quick before I answer that question, I want to shout out my little cousin, Janine Baldwin, because you said you went to Spelman, and she just got accepted to Spelman, and she will be a freshman this fall, so congratulations to her.
Yay!
Her
awesome.
Another future HBCU
awesome.
Grad. There we go.
Amen.
But who I would draft? Not Chet. Look, I like Chet Holmgren out of Gonzaga, but like you say, he's just small. He's tall, but he's small. He has to hit that weight room. But I'm going for Jabari Smith, the forward from Auburn. I like him. He could score. He can play defense. He has good size and length. He has the athleticism, the elite athleticism that you really want in your NBA type athlete. He's a three-level scorer, and he shot about 42% from three last year, I think about 44% overall. So he does have some things he has to work on, like his handle just needs to get just a little bit tighter. But I really would go after him, Jabari Smith. Chet Holmgren, I could see him maybe going three. He might drop out of the top two. I could see him going three or four. Mainly because of the physicality. The NBA is such a physical league, and his size is not it. I understand he's tall, he's lengthy, but he's just so small, and I would be concerned. And we've seen what happened in that first round with Gonzaga. The other team was just more physical, and they couldn't handle it. So if he doesn't get bigger for the NBA, I don't see him his career lasting but so long, to be honest with you, regardless of the
talent. You know what? Jabari Smith was on some of the pick of some of the guys on, I think, Tisdale or Tommy Pritchard did. But most of us said Pablo Banchero. First of all, I love that name, Pablo Banchero. Young man out of Duke. I loved his game. I love his size. I love his speed and his decision-making. There was some times this year, though, I don't think I saw it, but a lot of people said there were games where he disappeared or didn't make the impact that they wanted him to make. But if I had a chance to, with the number one pick, and if I am Orlando Magic, I think I'm going Pablo Banchero or even Smith. But I'm not going Chet because I think, again, it's not the same kind of big man girth that Shaquille O'Neal had. This young man from Gonzaga needs to gain a lot of weight, and I don't know if that would affect his shot and how smooth he is with it. And he can step outside, and he can come inside a little bit. But he needs some girth if he's going to compete in the inside in the NBA. So I agree with you. Brittany, I'm either going Auburn Sky or I'm going Duke Sky. Go ahead.
And what people have to understand with Chet Holmgren is that he's not Kevin Durant. I know people would say, oh, Kevin Durant was small. He's not Kevin Durant. He doesn't have the handles that Kevin Durant does. He is a front court player. He's your center, basically, or maybe your stretch four. He's not going to bring up the ball and handle the rock. So he has to get in that weight room. He has to eat a bunch of peanut butter sandwiches to try to put some weight on, but we'll see how that weight, going to be very interesting.
Yeah, and that was my knock on KD coming out of Texas and the Longhorns, and I remember him at the Combine in Orlando. For some reason, I happened to be down there with someone, and I actually went to that Combine, and his weight or his lack of weight that he picked up in the weight room was in the air, and it was on the news for a couple of days. But that was my knock on Kevin Durant. But you're correct in what you just said. It's two different players, and KD can handle that ball at any point and at all, and he can shoot it like no other. So I think it's two different players, and KD doesn't have a whole lot of girth, but he can play in the NBA. And despite me, you know, whatever feelings I have for him, he is a future Hall of Famer. Even at this point, I think that KD is a future Hall of Famer. We're going to put a button in it right there, Brittany. We get past this, and I'm not prepared with my female of the week. Are you prepared at all?
I'm not, but can I shout out someone? It's not a female, but
yeah.
I allowed to shout out someone. Uh-huh. We didn't really get a chance to talk about it. But I want to shout out Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, and the press conference prior to game, I believe 5, about really calling out the politicians and how they more worried about having power than protecting our young ones and making sure they put policies forth to ensure that just not anyone could get access to these guns, to really try to put laws and policies in place to do the necessary restrictions on these guns, because it's killing our kids, and this is not something that we can happen. So I have to shout him out, because we need more people in his position to do the same thing to try to get something done here, and it's very important.
Yeah, Brittany, I kind of glossed over it, and I put it on the list of things to talk about because my heart is heavy. I'm glad that you brought it up, because now it gives me the courage to kind of go ahead and discuss it. But I love Steve Kerr's reaction to it. And then he's put his money where his mouth is, and they're trying to,
mm-hmm.
you know, get a petition together and start this, at least a conversation. And he's challenging the 50 senators that we have. Wake up. Let's do
mm-hmm.
something. He even called out Mr. McConnell by name. And I didn't know about the shooting until Kevin Walker posted it. He was tired of seeing these mass shootings. And then when I saw the news, I was like, oh, just one teacher. Can we keep it like that? And then it just kept going up and up and up. And
mm-hmm.
these are babies. The school was for second, third, and fourth graders. Second,
yep.
third, and fourth graders. And I don't want to get too far into this, but some of these babies, they had to identify with DNA. With DNA.
Mm.
Because he had assault rifles. He had assault rifles shooting little babies.
Mm.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Guys,
prayers for all the families.
We have to
Go
protect
ahead,
our babies by any means necessary. These are the future of our world. And they're so innocent, and they depend on us so much. So please, let's come together and protect our future, protect our babies, please.
Mm-hmm. And some semblance of background checks, of gun control, whatever we have to do. But we have to be able to go to church, to the grocery store in Buffalo, and to school in Uvalde, Texas, without being afraid. And a lot of these
mm-hmm.
parents wanted to go ahead and go in there and protect their kids. A sad situation. My sincere condolences in my heart breaks for all of you all that are going through, and these parents that are breaking down. Again, 20 kids, 19 children, and 2 adults.
Mm-hmm.
19 children and 2 adults. Well, Brittany, we're going to leave it right there. It's Friday Eve, and I love doing this show with you. I'll be listening tomorrow to the shoot around at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with Brittany Jones and Kevin Walker and Jason Collins. Shout out to Jason Collins, my fellow Dallas Cowboy. We didn't get
it.
maybe I'll just call in tomorrow and shake things up. Brittany, have a great evening. Tell your mom I said hello, and keep doing what you're doing, okay?
Yes, absolutely. You have a good evening as well, Princess.
Awesome. She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess. That's it. We're signing out.